I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Love is all around me. And so the feeling grows. Coming for your job, Julie. A belief I struggle with is that I have to be perfect to receive love. It's clearly not true because my singing voice is far from pitch perfect. Thank you guys so much. And thank you, Hamish and Anita, for those wonderful words starting us off. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for watching. Today my talk is about turning beliefs into relationships, and our beliefs usually tend to be these abstract, faraway things, but we have the power to integrate them into our lives and enrich those around us and ourselves if we just integrate those positive beliefs into our everyday waking life. And we know these things. We have beliefs. But I'm talking about taking from the conceptual to the tangible, from the somewhat disconnected to the connected. Knowledge with integration. Belief without one iota of doubt. True love and true power. Being united with this. I mean, we're unity, right? We're unity. We're united. And you know that there is the word we and the word power. It's about being connected to this inexhaustible field. You can be in it, or you can be on the outside of it. The choice is yours. And that's the beauty, isn't it? We have free will. Free will to do whatever we want. It's unbelievably amazing if we can just remember that and tap into that. What have we done with it, though? What have we done with this free will? And there's some pretty amazing things. A lot of really neat inventions. Now I'm going to make some bold statements here today. Every single one of us is capable of time travel. And it's not because I've got access to some secret alien technology, although my wife would love that. She is obsessed with alien lore. She's watched every single episode of Ancient Aliens at least 3 or 4 times, which means I've watched every single episode of Ancient Aliens 3 or 4 times, and spoiler alert, it's always aliens. The reason I say we can time travel is because we spend so much time in the future and so much time in the past, worrying about what might happen. What's going to happen tomorrow? Will I have enough? Or, oh my God, he said that, or I did that. How can I ever repair myself? We're stuck in this limbo of going back and forth. And, you know, it takes us out of the present moment. How can we access our gifts if we're not on the same plane that they are? You know, in time traveling, it's a very slippery slope. It can be dangerous, you know. You guys remember from Star Trek or any sci-fi movie, sometimes a teleporter would break down, or they try to get back, and part of them would be somewhere else, and part of them would show up here. And what a scary thing it is if we lose our mind spending so much time not in the here and now, and we come back, and it's away from us. And we know we can't be two places at once, so the allure of time travel takes you out of the present moment. But I'm going to go a little deep today. What is the present moment? You know? We could get all scientific with it and say that it is what you are witnessing through the flat screen that is your mind. Your senses take in these electromagnetic impulses and process them, shoot them to your neuroreceptors, and these sensations become your experiences. So, for instance, the suit, you know, really isn't grayish. It's just that the light reflected off of it, off this matter, these atoms and particles that make up this suit, it's refracted and vibrating in such a way that your senses, your ocular senses, perceive it as gray. For right now, let's just call the suit gray and the present moment a gift, because it's a present, right? It's given to you. But for the sake of my talk, I like the idea of layman's quantum physics. And I did some research beyond just the spiritual bent, and I got a little lost, so just for the sake of brevity, let's focus on one of the main tenets or elements of quantum physics. One, particles are waves and vice versa. Quantum physics tells us that every object in the universe has both particle-like and wave-like properties. It's not that everything is really waves and just sometimes looks like particles, but that everything is made of particles and sometimes fool us into thinking they're waves. Every object in the universe is a new kind of object, and called a quantum particle, that has some characteristics of both particles and waves, but isn't really either. So, essentially it's saying, or how I interpret it, is that we are just this field, this vibrational field, which we're all part of, because essentially we are all just materials, atoms, stardust that is vibrating in a certain unique way. We are beings of light, carbon, hydrogen. The exact same stuff that a star is made of. And stars are bright because stars are suns. And the sun's powerful, right? But too often we don't realize or believe in our power. And if we don't believe in it, how can we have a relationship with it? The answer is you can't. That one granule of doubt takes you out of the field of unimaginable creativity and possibility. We need light to illuminate, just as we are illuminated by the light. I know I just made a joke about time travel and saying, don't do it. We all do, right? But I want to talk about Joe Dispenza for a minute. I don't know if you guys know him, but I was struggling for a long time. I was time traveling in the wrong way. I was traumatized by my past, so the future looked really uncertain and bleak. And I watched every YouTube video on healing health anxiety, health trauma, from the stuff I witnessed with my family. Probably a little too much. I was online a little too much, listening to too many things. But I was just so ashamed of the limited and constricted life that I was living. You know, I was closing up, and I was shirking and shunning my gifts. And I knew that there was a possibility for me. I never gave up on myself, but my God, I was in a lot of pain. You know, a lot of it happened right after we had our firstborn, Ford. And when I was left alone with him, I'd wear him around on the Bjorn, and I'd feel my heart just constrict, and I'd have these palpitations, and I started worrying. I was like, oh my God, what if something happens to me? I don't want him to witness the pain my father went through. And it just sent me to these horrible places of reliving traumas. And what I realize now is that these feelings inside my body were vibrations. It was a trapped, unhealed energy I had in my heart chakra. And they were just, the body was trying to help me out, trying to release these energies. But every time they came up, I got freaked out and I shoved them down even further. I went to see every doctor, every cardiologist, and everything was fine, you know. But here I was, this virile and vital 35-year-old man that was so afraid of taking his next step because I was afraid of life, really. So worried about death, I was afraid to live. And so I feel like this desire to be there and be more present for my boy to heal, you know, I wanted to heal, I just didn't know how. And somehow the field guided me to this guy, Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he spent a lot of time time traveling in the future, because he was this hotshot chiropractor in his late 20s. He was very active, and he was involved in this triathlon one day, and he was in the cycling portion of it. And for some reason, this car got way out of its lane and turned left and hit Joe, flung him like 30, 40 feet, and he suffered serious, serious spinal injuries. I think he cracked like 6 part of his vertebrae. He had to go to the hospital, obviously, right away to the ER room. And he got the opinions of close colleagues and friends and other doctors, and they're like, Joe, you know, you need to have this very invasive surgery. And the surgery was where they would fuse a metal rod up the length of his spinal column. And Joe was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, what are you talking about? You got to have the surgery. He's like, no. He's like, I'm not going to do it. I know these things. He's like, if I have that surgery, yeah, I might be able to walk, but my mobility will be limited. I will never be the same for the rest of my life. So he shunned all this medical advice, went back home, and he laid on his stomach, because that was the only way he could lay comfortably or be comfortably. And he started thinking. He's like, I understand the connection between the mind and the body. So he started these meditations, and he'd start by visualizing the very lowest vertebrae healing. And he'd go up the spinal column. And there were some obviously very dark nights of the soul for this guy. But he stuck with it. And he said that if he got to a part of the meditation where he didn't believe that it could heal the place he was at, he would start all over again. Sometimes these meditations would be 5, 6, 7 hours. Within 3 months, Joe was walking again. Within 5 to 6 months, he was back at his practice. And I believe within a year, he was cycling competitively again. Now, I'm not calling Joe a Christ-like figure, but by the very definition, this is the idea of the Christ consciousness, right? Yeah. Amen. You know, in his mind, he already existed in a place where the quantum field, he existed in a place in the quantum field where his body was healed. It just took time for it to catch up. And that became his reality. You know, these stories in the Bible where Jesus puts his hand on the afflicted, the cripple, and they just rise up? Is that a condensed recounting of something that happened? An allegory? Or is it a story about someone who listened to the information and the understanding that Christ had about God? That this inexhaustible force is all around us and in us. That it wants harmony and uniformity. And it can exist completely if we remove that what blocks us and step into the flow and allow it to flow through us. Do not be ashamed to think big, guys. I'm serious. We often want to be humble and have humility, and that's great. But I feel like sometimes we squash our light. We're here to experience. So let this experience be the most grand and rich experience you can think of. Don't give up on yourself because you're caught in a rut. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Stick with it. Imagine. Believe. Have a relationship with that positivity, with this grandeur that we all have. You know, but life can be hard sometimes, right? Life is painful. And I'm going to make another bold statement. Pain is good. If, and this is a big if, you can learn from it. Rock bottom teaches you things that you can't find on the top of mountains. So earlier on, I asked, what have we done with our time here? I said some pretty incredible stuff. Sadhguru, an Indian yoga guru and proponent of spirituality, said, 100 years ago, I hold my hand up and I can communicate via FaceTime, audio visual, with someone halfway across the world. Everyone in this room would consider me a god. It's true, right? But now we have these handheld teleporters that we can do anything we want to. We navigate our lives on these things. We've become a little entitled because of this technology, a little disconnected with God in our reality. You know, we can basically navigate our lives on this little black obelisk. Said black obelisk. Have any of you guys seen 2001 A Space Odyssey? Okay, cool. I thought maybe it might be a little old for some of you. It's in the wheelhouse, I guess. But I just it just reminds me of the beginning of the movie when that obelisk lands in the middle of nowhere and these monkeys like go around it. They're like, oh my God, what is this thing? Oh. And that's us. We're just on this thing constantly being like, oh my God, he said what? Oh my God, they're having a 25% sale down at the store. I really need to get that. Why is this? Come on, why is this not working fast enough? Where's my 5G at? And even with all these advances, there's this disconnect. We have this hubris that comes with this technology. Stress is increasing. Patience is dwindling. We want everything instantly, and we consume everything at the speed of light, kind of joylessly, without taking time to fully process or enjoy what we're doing. There was this quote that I stumbled upon from the actor John Cassavetes while I was on Instagram on my phone. He said, "These days, everybody is supposed to be so intelligent. Isn't it terrible about Nixon getting elected? Did you hear about the earthquake in Peru? And you're supposed to have all the answers. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, like, what's bugging you, mister? Why can't you make it with your wife? Why do you lie awake all night staring at the ceiling? Why? Do you refuse to recognize you have problems and deal with them? The answer is people have forgotten how to relate or respond. In this day of mass communications and instant communications, there is no communication between people. Instead, it's long-winded stories or hostile bits or laughter. But nobody's really laughing. It's more a hysterical, joyless kind of sound. Translation, I am here, and I don't know why. This is spot on, and it's from the late 1960s. It's almost cute that he mentions instant and mass communications when those technologies have multiplied 10,000-fold since then, with Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, whatever. We're incessantly on this thing. Well, I'm on it way too much, but I'm not saying technology is bad, but it's like fire. It can warm you or it can burn you, and usually the distinction is razor thin. What I'm getting at is everything changes, and nothing really changes. All of life is chopping wood, carrying water. We have this great technology now, but we're still struggling with the same problems. And part of the reason we're down in relationships is because we don't believe in ourselves. Even though we're connected, we're disconnected. And why are we disconnected? I think a major factor is that we hold on to past indiscretions. We block energy that we don't like, and we cling to these beliefs that somebody wronged us, they were unkind, they don't love us. All these hurts from the past distort everything moving forward. How many times has someone sent you a text, and because of your last interaction with them or a certain belief you have about them, a totally innocuous, benign text, and you get it, and you're like, It has nothing to do with the text. It has everything to do with your past and what you're thinking about. All context is lost because it came through the screen and not through a face-to-face interaction. You know, at least when you're on a phone call, you can judge and hear tonal inflections. We lay our viewpoints on everything that comes in. It has nothing to do with reality and what's really going on. Oh, she's wearing a pink blouse. I don't like pink blouses. My ex-wife that cheated on me wore a pink blouse. You laugh, and it's funny, but the pink blouse has nothing to do with that this situation. Maybe you're a single guy looking for a next great relationship and you miss out on the next great love of your life because of that pink blouse. It's these stored traumas we hold on to. You can see how your past has nothing to do with the present moment and that woman and what she's wearing. We make prefaces based on our past traumas and hurts, and it constricts and confines our world. If you don't heal what hurt you, you'll bleed on people that didn't cut you. And a lot of these preferences are learned, and we don't take the time to question it. You know, I've been afraid of snakes my whole life. Go so far as to say I hated snakes. Why? I've only seen snakes out in the wild maybe a handful of times. None of them have ever bit me or hurt my family, but yet I want to cuss these things and just hate them. And only recently did I take time to really analyze why. It's because my dad didn't like snakes. It's really because he feared them. But he made it very obvious to me growing up he did not like snakes, and so I just took that, his belief, and ran with it, made it my own. It's dangerous, guys. It's dangerous stuff. We don't stand a chance if we don't question these things. You know, I'm going to go very far out to make a point here, but say you don't like snakes, and you loathe rattlesnakes, right? That little it just sends your heart into this palpitation. You get all tense and weird. If you don't analyze that, taking it really far, your fear of snakes could turn into a disdain of babies. Because guess what? Rattle, baby rattle sounds the same. Think about it. This stuff is true. You know, we end up having more of a relationship with these thoughts, these judgments, and what we believe to be memories than we do with the actual present moment in which we exist. And that, I judge, is the genesis of all suffering. Why are we so scared? So scared of people, things we don't understand, things that are different. Why can't we unite on a global plane? You know, I laugh because that John Cassavetes quote was from the 1960s, but it wasn't that long ago. It was only a decade before, in 1954, that the Supreme Court ruled against segregation. You know, and it's so bizarre because all we want is love. It's something we all want. And you could say that the pursuit of it, and that it is the driving force of all humanity. People don't feel they have it or distorted views of it, causes a lot of problems. Again, I'm going to make a pretty heavy point here, but Hitler was a failed artist. He was rejected from the Vienna Academy of Fine Arts. So it seems that beauty was indeed his first choice, but for some, that sting of rejection is too much. You know, when we feel unloved or we feel lack, we start blaming other people or things, and we do crazy things to try and make it right. We burn personal bridges, start wars. And it's because we look outside of ourselves for it. I judge that the fallacy and all this lack we feel was putting the image of God as a person. Now, yeah, of course, we are all God. God is in us. But specifically a man, somebody else, someone that's not you. And that could be viewed as a problem, right? God is so far away from me. How can I have a relationship with him? And so going back to your mind, the mind is a problem-solving machine. So in order for it to do its job, it needs, you guessed it, problems. And I'll speak for myself here because I don't want to make too many broad judgments for everyone in this room. But the core problem, the inception of every problem I've ever had, began with this inherited belief that God is far away from me. I need to please him so I'm not punished. And if the mind really wants to get going to make a big mess of things, maybe God doesn't exist at all, and this is all just, boop, baloney. but you're not your mind. You are the witness of your mind. And the funny thing about your mind is there is no physical, empirical evidence of your mind, of your thoughts in the physical world. It's an energy field that can't really be measured. No one else can see your thoughts, but you're here, you're there, you know you are. I think, therefore I am. And that alone should have put to bed any doubt you have about God. And I know we all have these moments of doubt, these little granules of disbelief. I can't see God, I can't see spirit, so it's not there. Well, no one else can see your thoughts. Anytime you doubt, look no further than inside. That's what the quote, God is closer than your hands and feet and nearer than your breath means. My belief was God was this magic man up in the sky, infallible, bookkeeper, judgmental, perfect. It's pretty hard to live up to that, right? Hard to have a relationship with that guy. I'm sorry, God's not a bearded Zeus doppelganger, not something to be fearful of, but something to embrace. See, the thing is, when you're fearful, you get scared. And when you get scared, your energy gets all messed up. You don't like it, and you become frantic to do anything, a lot of times against better judgment, to make things right. I was raised with the belief that love is something that you had to earn. With that mindset, you're going to always be qualifying, quantifying, judging, weighing out every action. Is this enough? Is that good enough? Is this person loyal enough? It's easier just to start and end with love. God is the sky. God's a baby crying over in the next room. The bent tree that's decomposing outside. God is decay and regeneration. Not pristine, but imperfectly perfect, just like us. The miracle is not in perfection. The miracle is in being, in existing. You know, you can fact check me on this, but I read that there is a 1 in 7 billion chance of being here. That's pretty miraculous, you know? What are you going to do with the miracle that's your life? Are you going to hold on to that thing that happened to you 20? No, check that. Are you going to hold on to that thing you witnessed happen 25 years ago? Nothing is personal. Are you going to have a relationship with the miracle that is the present moment? 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. This verse has such new meaning for me now, because I hated it in high school Bible study. People wearing these shirts all the time. I thought it was the most boring stuff out there. I was like, I wanted my love to be knocked down, drag out, crazy, tumultuous, just, But my view on that has changed. Seems to me love is a constant flow of energy and atoms and waves and particles that doesn't get hung up or blocked. Trauma loves grandiosity. It feels it needs these things, and if they're not there, then something's wrong. When in truth, the greatest love is the simplest love. We don't need to overcompensate. We can be so worried that if we don't fit into this mold that was laid out for us by society or parents or some spiteful God that we were told we had to appease by following a preordained set of rules. Well, it's my belief there is no hell except for the ones that we put ourselves in here by limiting our light. The same light that radiates from 100,000 million stars in our galaxy and the trillions of cells in our bodies. The point is, we're all made of the same stuff. Honor your chakra centers. Breathe into and believe in your core. It's your North Star, so to speak. Your thoughts are like a superconductor, a conduit to the vast amount of energetic possibilities that exist. And when you listen to and believe in lack and deficiency, then it becomes a belief that's integrated. It becomes a relationship. It becomes a real, tangible truth. It becomes physical. You feel heavy, weighed down. But the very same goes for the good, if not more so. the positive. That's why you can feel light and invigorated even when you're doing hard things, every single second of every day. And these times, you know, they can be judged as hard, no doubt, but they're not unique. Part of our humanness and our ego wants to hijack the present moment and make it as if we're the only ones who ever experience these things. That's a human hubris. You want to talk about hard? Go have a conversation with the dinosaurs. Now is the time when we need positive relationships more than ever. Rely on our ancestors, the ones who are here with us on this plane, and the ones who have transitioned on. Now, how much of our energy is blocked by this needless fear of death? How much time do we waste living in fear because of that? Miss out on the day, miss out on the moment that's right in front of us. Energy cannot be destroyed. It's science. Listen to the wind. Go outside. Step on the earth. The core of the earth has the same frequency as our heartbeat. It's not a random circumstance. Everything is God, and God is in all things, especially us. Anything you give meaning to is meaningful. Pay attention to your witness value and be attentive. Be kind and a loving gatekeeper of your mind. Set your course before you even begin. Focus on positivity, creation. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. A lot of heavy stuff was discussed today. But try and remember, enlightenment is not perfection. Be wary of making your spiritual journey another ego-based improvement project. You know, ignore the ads that pop up in your mind that say, well, 20 minutes of meditation is great, so 3 hours must be even better. Even if you feel like you have a ways to go, just love. Love what is. I read this quote from Alan Wilson Watts somewhere a long time ago when everything seemed so dire, intense, and serious that I couldn't find the humor in it. He said, "Man only suffers because he takes seriously what the gods made for fun." And I think that redheaded Spitfire Reba McEntire said it best. In order to succeed, you need a wishbone, a backbone, and a funny bone. Let's take this lightness into meditation and prayer right now. Breathe, beloved. Breathe, brothers and sisters. Breathe into your heart. And I want you to imagine yourself not as yourself. I want you to think of yourself as expanding, never ending. I want you to think of yourself as the wind, as the ocean rolling back and forth, as an eagle flying and soaring above the canyons. I want you to think of yourself as the clouds full of rain, letting go and releasing and rejuvenating. We are present beings, physical beings, here on this plane. But more so than that, we are inexhaustible, ethereal, loving, strong, and beautiful energy, capable of doing whatever we set our minds to. Take another deep breath. And let go. Let go of anything that is hurting you. Anything that is weighing you down. Be free. Be free. And I want you in your heart, in your mind's eye, I want you to focus on somebody in this room, somebody you may not know, someone you didn't come with. And I want you to send them. I want love to radiate from your core and your heart. Feel that connection. Feel that connection of love and energy. Let them know that it's all right, that you have them and they have you. We thank you, God and Great Spirit, for this experience, for being. We thank you for this love, and so it is.